the owner at Charlton, John Santangelo, I mean, he's kind of famously a pretty tough guy, right, in terms of how he treated workers. Tell us a story or two about that.
I know Pete, when he died, I know people that went to the wake just to make sure it was him. I'm not kidding.
Yeah.
He would bring Italian immigrants over and had houses in the neighborhood around Charlton that he owned. He'd put them up in the houses and really squeeze them for the rents, but they got a job at Charlton. That's just the way he operated. His son Charlie eventually took over the business, and Charlie's a great guy. John Sr., he didn't get too many Valentines in February.
Didn't he cut salaries in half at one point?
There was a flood. Charlton Press was right on the banks of the Housatonic River, and it was a major flood in the late 50s, I think. The building was damaged, but not bad. But people had to be taken by helicopter off the roof.
Mm-hmm.
It was that bad. They were trapped. So he nursed that, John did, for as long as he could, crying poor mouth. Oh, we got to cut the rates. We had the flood. It destroyed this and that.
And you mentioned a writer named Joe Gill. Didn't he have to sort of increase his output?
Joe Gill was a great character. We were buddies right till the end, and he was making, this is back in the mid-60s, he was making like, I don't know, $400 a week, which was unbelievable at the time. Everybody else was making like 100.
Mm-hmm.
And Joe was told he had to take a cut in half. And I was talking with him one day. I said, Joe, what are you going to do now? Christ, you're going from $400 a week down to half. And he said, I'm not worried. I'm just going to put out more work. That's when he went from 50 pages a week to 100.
Wow.
He was typing 100 pages of comic book copy a week.
And so my sense of Charlton was this was a big business that printed a lot of things besides comics. And they were basically trying to keep the printing presses running as much as possible. So that's one of the reasons they did comics. Did that ultimately lead to a little bit more freedom? I mean, could you experiment a little bit more because maybe they weren't watching that as closely as DC
exactly.
or Marvel? Yeah.
Yeah, that's a good reason why some of the people came to Charlton.
Mm.
They got fed up with the restrictions. You got to remember that not long after that, or maybe at the same time, I'm not sure, there was a comics code.
Mm-hmm, yeah.
And if you looked at the cover of the comics in those days, it was a little square up at the top right-hand corner saying Comics Code of America, which meant that the stuff was edited by people who were afraid the breasts on the women were too big or the violence or the words were rough, not swear words or anything, but yeah, they were very tough. Archie was all for it because mm-hmm. they never violated any of that stuff. And their sales went up
mm-hmm.
because of the code, because everybody else had to water down their stuff, especially there was some publishers.
Well, Bill Gaines in particular, the guy who wound up later starting Mad Magazine, Bill Gaines, I think he was doing EC or one of those lines too, and that there were congressional hearings about this.
Oh, yeah, Dr. Wortham.
Mm-hmm.
He's claimed the comics made juvenile delinquents out
right.
of the kids.
And actually, the Hartford Current played a big role in that, too. They did a big series that attracted national attention, I think,
really?
with that guy Wortham, yeah. So you, if you were working at Charlton, though, that meant maybe you could experiment. Like, Charlton did horror comics when everybody else had pretty much gotten out of the horror business because they were afraid
reason.
Of that. Yeah.
Yeah, for that reason. But a guy like Steve Ditko, for example, who's an icon in the mm-hmm. business, He came over to, he was doing the monster books, Gorgo and Congo, which were movie adaptations, and that was some of his best work ever, I thought. He redesigned the Blue Beetle character. He developed Captain Atom, which I worked on with him, and that was a big hit. So there was quite a few really good artists there.
Frank, did you love comic books, or was it a job, or was it both?
It had to be both.
Yeah.
Because you had to be nuts to get in it, for one thing. I'm just as big a fan as anybody, and I can understand where these guys that are putting together this Charlton Arrow
mm-hmm.
magazine, but like I said before, you you probably won't see any action heroes in there because they were bought up by DC, mm-hmm. and there might be a licensing thing or something. So most of the stuff that you're going to see from the magazine they're going to put out or just have put out will be the animated stuff and stuff where there won't be any copyright problems, which would be a shame, but I give them credit, boy, for doing it. In fact, I teach at a workshop on weekends in Derby, mm-hmm. and there's a growing interest in the Charlton history of it, and some of these kids are putting together material they can try and get published in the Charlton Arrow.
Huh. That's
Wouldn't
fabulous.
That be cool?
That would be very cool.
Yeah.
Yeah. Frank McLaughlin, it's been so great to talk to you and to share these memories. You are a treasure trove of them, so thank you for taking the time with us.
Well, thanks. Thanks for calling. Today's my birthday, by the way.
Oh.
and after St. Patty's Day, what else can go wrong, you know?
Right, exactly. Well, happy birthday, Frank McLaughlin.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Bye now.